In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that no one puts new wine into old wineskins. And the angel Gabriel came to tell the Virgin Mary that she would be the new wineskin of salvation. The new wine of Emmanuel would be in her womb. God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. And it's what God intended to give you from the moment that he created the heavens and the earth. From the moment that he decided to make man in his own image. And it is a phrase of intimacy in the Garden of Eden that God walked with them. God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. But now, at Jesus' conception now, the Son of God would be permanently with his people. Eve was bone of Adam's bone, flesh of his flesh. And the Son of God would be the bone of Mary's bone, flesh of Mary's flesh. And what do we sing? Veiled in flesh, the Godhead, see. Hail the incarnate deity. And do you know what that line means? Do you know what that song means at its core? It means that God loves you. Holy God, the Almighty, the Creator, the power of all that is, the author of life, he identifies with you. He is in solidarity with you. And he comes to make you his home. He comes to make this world his home, your world, your circumstance, your life. He doesn't live in a cedar house. He makes a virgin's womb his home. Content. The divine majesty makes his home where every single one of us has lain. Mary became the new wineskin of the Heavenly Father's grace. Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. It was a pregnant moment. Mary heard the gospel, and she believed. In her ear was planted the richest message of heaven. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And there's symmetry that is to be captured today, a symmetry that is to dwell, to linger in your mind. To a maiden pure and holy, an angel came, an evil angel, whispering lies. You will be like God, knowing good and evil, Satan. He brought a message of self, a message of pride, a message of rebellion, and Eve listened to it and reached out her hand. A different angel, far different, full of heaven's light, full of gospel truth and divine love, Gabriel, spoke of a Savior. Mary believed and conceived. May God's word have its way with me. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. What does that tell you? That in precisely the way that man fell, God intervenes to bring life. He is determined to have the final word. He is determined that life should conquer death. He is determined that holiness, his holiness, should defeat sin. His method, his strategy, is to bring his life into our own That is the symmetry. And Jesus now, Jesus is your brother. Jesus is God's son, but he is most certainly your brother. And from Mary's womb comes a new man, new life. From Mary's womb comes a new race, full of divine favor, full of grace. The Lord Christ, he is the new and greater Adam. The infant son of Mary, in his blood, is a new humanity. And do you know what else has happened? Do you know what else is a part of this symmetry? The word of the gospel has come to your ear. The power of the Holy Spirit attends that word. You have received the richness of God's favor through that word, and you know its veracity. You know its stunning truthfulness. Faith is conceived in you. The life of Christ has been conceived in you as you hear his word. And you know that Christ resides in you. How? Because God has told you through his word, and you know that it is the truth. Life, Christ embodies it. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So, are you living in an age of death, or are you living in an age of life? Are you a child of the resurrection, or are you a walking cadaver, full of dread and fear and unfaith? Make no mistake, there are forces at work among us that want you to be full of dread. There are forces at work among us that hate the church, hate it, and will do all in their power to rob you of faith and to fill your heart with anything except Christ. And on the whole, I think we'll all agree, on the whole, there's a general consensus that the devil has had himself a hell of a year. How to detach people from Christ. Detach people from Christ's church. And it seems to me that nothing has actually been taken from anyone. Rather, people have relinquished their gifts willingly. And we need to ask, what price, what unseen price is going to have to be paid for this forfeit? How about if we play a game? Those of us who are in here, let's play a little game. Let's imagine a precious number of lines from Holy Scripture are omitted. Imagine as if those lines had never been said. Okay, you got the nature of this game? Let's start with Moses. Moses returns to the Israelite camp after receiving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai and more of the law, the Torah, that which God gave. He's coming back into the camp, and the people are engaging in false worship. The golden calf is now the object of their adoration. So imagine Moses not saying this. Who is on the Lord's side? Come to me. Imagine the sons of Levi not rallying to Moses' side at that call. And imagine Joshua sometime later, Joshua not saying this. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your father served in this region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Imagine that statement. Imagine that sentiment, that glorious and bracing call to action, not being in the scriptures. And imagine Mary not saying to Gabriel, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Imagine those things not being said, and then state the truth. How poor we would be at not having them. How diminished and poor and colorless we would be if not for words like these. And we are presently flirting with diminishment, flirting with spiritual poverty and colorless faith, if we do not say deliberately and boldly that the church must be the church. The scriptural story, which you know, the scriptural story is our story. The scriptural story is the story, God's story, and through it, we have access to God's life. We are to be living it. The same radical allegiance, the same humble fidelity, the same spirit-born trust. We are the people of God. Moses did say it, and he meant it, and he acted accordingly. Joshua did say it, and he meant it, and he acted accordingly. Mary did say it. When she said it, she meant it, and she acted accordingly. And those are our people. They aren't untouchable heroes who transcend what we're capable of. No. They were common men and women who faced uncertainty, like us, who dealt with their own doubts, who then relied on God and put His word above other considerations, personal safety being one of those other considerations. Jesus is Lord. He was, as Gabriel said, great. And his greatness was manifest when he laid aside his divine prerogatives and took up the form of a servant for you. His greatness was manifest when he changed water into wine, and Mary was there. She trusted what God had said to her. She treasured it in her heart. At that wedding, she knew that what the angel had told her was true. The Lord is with you. And you know it as well. Because He is here. With His word and His spirit, He is here. The Lord is with you. In this divine service, the power of the Most High overshadows you. And you know that you're not defined by your sins, but by the blood of Christ. His sacrifice is the very light in this room. He changes wine into His blood. He changes bread into His body. You eat it and you drink it, and that's what it means to have life to the full. Nothing is impossible with God. He bears all human sin in His fully human body. He destroys sin by dying. He rises from the dead and calls us out of our tombs of fear to participate in His triumph. Nothing is impossible with God. He brought down the walls of Jericho by a seven-day parade and the blast of a ram's horn. He shut the mouths of lions and protected His servant Daniel. He took Jonah where Jonah needed to be by way of a great fish. Nothing is impossible with God. He gave His son into death to save you, to see that you live forever, and He calls you to Himself to receive what He graciously gives, to bless you with joy and hope and love. And it's time for the church to awaken anew to the life that is hers. It's time for faithful saints to make their way back to worship. We live in Him. Life is found nowhere else. And the beauty of His life is here, in His church, for all to receive and enjoy and to be delivered from the colorlessness that is all around us. And so let the words of Gabriel, spoken to Mary, stick in your ear. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. And how do you know? Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.